You have heard it before. Being authentic is the key to leveraging your personal brand on social media and to really getting the visibility that you need to grow whatever enterprise or cause that you see fit. Cheryl Plouffe here, host of Cashing on Camera. My guest today is Nikki Clark, who is the host of her own show, The Nikki Clark Show, which is an award-winning show. She's a singer-songwriter. She's a mom to three adult children. She's an ordained minister. It's amazing. Your resume is something, Nikki. And you're also launching your next book this fall. So, Nikki, great to have you on today as we discuss social media and not taking this one-size-fits-all approach. What has been your journey with social media over the years?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you so much, Cheryl, for the invitation. I'm honored to be here on the show. It's a wonderful platform. But yes, my journey into social media was something of an evolution. I started off as a college professor in the Faculty of Early Childhood Education, and I did that happily for 10 years as a single mom with three children, and I had a couple of other part-time jobs. I used to joke and say, you know, I have one job per child to make all the ends meet as a single mom, but I thank God that we got through those days. But I would say the last year and the 10 year of teaching at Sheridan College, I just got this really strong inclination. I call it a divine whisper. And it was getting louder and louder, Cheryl, to do what I really wanted to do. I'll backtrack a little bit. I studied film and communications at McGill University in Montreal. And my heart was yearning for this thing to be on TV, to have a talk show, and to follow in the footsteps of this great woman I hope to meet one day, Oprah Winfrey. But that didn't happen at the time. I got into teaching and raising three young children, but the desire came back the year before I decided to take that leap of faith and start an online talk show. And so 2008, 2009, I officially left the college to take this huge, like I said, leap of faith and to start the show. And I wanted to do something where I could invite people from all walks of life to come on the show and to share their heart stories and to help people understand that whatever experience they're having, that they're not in isolation, that there are people out there who have been there, done that, and are so courageous to share their story.
And I think we both probably have this desire to want to pay it forward, and we have a lot in common. We both have shows. We both taught college. We both have kids. And so I think that we often, whether we're starting a business or a cause, we have some type of internal knowing or yearning for something more. I think a lot of people can relate to that desire. It's not an easy path necessarily, but it's a worthwhile path. And so now I know you are a community activist and you do a lot of work in the community. How do you use social media to further that cause?
Right. So as I developed the show without really all the tools doing it, and I started live stream before live stream became a thing, and my hope was to go to TV. And now that I have the show on TV, it's so funny that 360, I'm back on live stream and understanding the beauty of live stream, just as what you're doing, Cheryl. But I had to understand what the elements were and what I needed to do to boost my business online. I had an audience that was interested in the show and it started to grow. I started to get some viewers from Asia, Australia, and I realized there were no boundaries to the live streaming element. People could tune in whenever they had the time and they had the interest. So, okay, I have an interested group of people, how do I keep them engaged? So I had to learn ways organically to keep people kind of fed with the nourishment of the soul of the show. So this is where I had to do some research and to find out what were the elements to keeping people engaged. And I went kind of back to school, so to speak. I went online and I found some mentors who were really prominent in their field. And I said, okay, this is what I'm going to use as a model to engage people. So what I've done is I've put to practice what I've learned, and I also teach others. Social media is not one size fits all. And people are probably, you know, wondering, what does that mean? Well, it's not that you can't use the same content in different platforms. It's just that it's not maybe going to be effective using all the platforms with the same content. And what I do is I provide a little breakdown, a synopsis of the popular platforms so that people can understand the audience that follows these platforms and how to use them wisely.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think in a world where we're inundated with social media, as an entrepreneur, or if you're a coach, a consultant, you have to make a really concerted decision or a concerted effort and a decision about which of those platforms to focus on. Because if you focus on all of them, it probably isn't going to get you the results that you're after. So Nikki, in the interest of time, I know there's so many platforms, but let's focus on maybe like two or three social platforms that we can really identify as being a unique type of person who engages on those platforms. One of the ones that I think is really intriguing is TikTok. TikTok, this short form type of content, they're making a lot of changes. We've got creators are being paid now on TikTok to make content. We've got people blowing up. What are your thoughts about TikTok and the type of people who engage on that platform and watch those videos?
Yeah, TikTok has really come a long way. Initially, it started out in the mid 2000s as a way to get people engaged through lip syncing, right? Find the favorite song and then some neat background and effects, and then you can sing along to it. But it's actually evolved into a really neat marketing tool. So entrepreneurs are using it. Public leaders are using it. Politicians, religious leaders, it doesn't matter. As long as you have something catchy to say and you can frame it within less than a minute with graphics, you can use the video to send out your message live, or you can tape it and then you can repurpose it on different streams. So it's actually become a really unique way of being cost effective in your marketing and getting the attention that you want. And just like you said, there are people who have blown up and become millionaires almost overnight with some of the really funny parodies, really unique scripts, or maybe some fun dance moves that have incorporated their family or people in the, you know, community. And it's a really fun, like I said, cost-effective way of getting your marketing across to reach your intended audience. Not quite as serious as some other platforms, but it's light and warm-hearted to reach the people you want to that way.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like one of my responsibilities as a video strategist is to try all of the platforms where there's video so that I at least have a working knowledge about them. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm focused on TikTok. I have created content there. I don't have a ton of followers, but it hasn't also been a focus of mine, but enough for me to get in and have a basic understanding of what's happening. And then on the other hand, you've got a behemoth like YouTube, which I'm a big fan of, and a lot in 2020, I think 1.5 million video views in 2020 alone, just from doing a video once per week. So I'm sure we could have a discussion about YouTube and how to best utilize that platform today.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. It was how I grew the community. The Nikki Clark Network happened through the reaches of YouTube, and it's a wonderful opportunity to set and establish yourself as an expert in whatever area of topic or whatever area of interest you have. Become like a YouTube sensation, and really sets you apart from other people by using this wisely. Because people ask me, how do I use YouTube and what kind of subjects can I use to get people to draw to my channel? How can I get their attention? The great thing is that you can go to a YouTube, click in a keyword in the search, and then it will pop up a whole bunch of ideas. For example, if I wanted to find out a way to make my own hand sanitizer, I would go to YouTube and I would click on hand sanitizer, and it would show me all the people who have actually logged in on hand sanitizer, and shows like a community community of hand sanitizer and different ways to do it. So this is how you can formulate, just a tip for you on how you can find things that people are looking for and do your own little research and create a YouTube video based on the interest out there in the community. So that is...
I just put in hand sanitizer.
Yeah, hand sanitizer.
550,000 searches per month.
Per month for hand sanitizer. So you'll know that is a very popular item. It's not going away anytime soon. So keep doing those videos. Right. Keep your 2, 3 minute, 5 minute videos. I like short and sweet brevity because people have ADD when it comes to media because people are being bombarded every single minute with some new information. So keep it short and sweet and catchy. Keep the eye candy there. Like make it very attractive to look at and to sound. So work on your lighting, work on the type of your lower thirds, the graphics you use, maybe the background music. So keep it as interesting as possible.
So a lower third is graphics that in this case, they're animated and they come and they slide and they can do different things, but they appear in the lower third of the frame.
Absolutely.
And so with Facebook, Nikki, what's your approach to growing and really getting that attention going on Facebook? Any tips you want to share?
Sure. Facebook has been ideal in the hybrid approach of connecting with people. It's formal and informal, depending on how you want to use it. I have my private page. I have where I connect with my friends and my family members, and then some new people in my network. So we interact that way. And then there are also some customized pages that I have for my businesses. So I have one for my show, and then I have one for my music. So the great thing about Facebook is that it can help you if you don't have all that background and putting together templates. There are customizable templates there for you. So all you need to do is to plug in the data. And there you have a very professional looking page to attract people to your website. So that's what you want, is you want a conversion to, you know, having people go to your profile so that it can turn over into a website. And then the ideal thing is the conversion into a sale or into what kind of interaction you want to have with the potential client.
I love that.
So I love Facebook for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because there have been so many changes with Facebook in the last many years. And Facebook groups, I think, is still an awesome platform. Organic reach on Facebook pages has decreased significantly since algorithm changes. So people are finding it a bit of a struggle. They've built up, let's say, an audience of a couple of thousand people on a page, but only a small percentage of them see those organic posts. However, having said that, I think it's still a platform where your audience may well be. So if your audience is there, have a presence on that platform, 100%.
Grow it, yeah, absolutely. And keep it authentic, use stories. It's amazing, Cheryl, maybe you've experienced this. I find more people go to my stories than they actually like whatever post I have. So I know they're looking because I can see. The great thing about stories is that you can see who looked and you can see the interaction. They'll give you a like or a ha-ha or a love, a little note, but you'll see that people are watching. So I do more posting to my stories now than to my actual feed.
Yeah, I've done that for a long time. And I'm big on Instagram stories. I love that. In fact, I did a few story posts before this interview, just talking about how I'm setting things up before the interview. Yeah. Because I like to use it for behind the scenes type of action. So even though that's going to expire within 24 hours of this broadcast, but nonetheless, it's fun.
People want to see the effect that it'll make anyway. 24.
Yeah, they want to see what's going on. And so I think those are all great tips. Nikki, we have a little segment that we do on the show called Stop Marketing Like It's 1999. And the concept of it, because I'm a big Prince fan, as you can see all the purple around me here. And what I'd love to know from you
is... Me too. Oh my gosh, something else in common.
Are you really? I'm purple fam all the way. Like I am...
Yeah, big.
So we'll have to take that offline because we could go into a Prince diet. So stop marketing like it's 1999. What is a tip, a tool, a tactic, a technique that you have used to effectively market yourself or your business or your causes in a modern marketing way, like in a marketing strategy, really, that's working for today's world?
Keep it real. I'll keep it 100%. People like to see just you being yourself. You don't always have to come with the hair and the makeup looking just precise for a fashion magazine. They want to see the sweat sometimes. They want to see the hair a little bit unruly. And with my hair, that happens quite frequently. So love me or not. I have curly hair. There you go, Cheryl.
This is the best I could do today, is a little claw clip at the back.
So there you have it. But that's really, people want to be endeared to just who you are. They want to see pictures of your family. I mean, food pictures are great. But I think more often than not, they just want to see the real you and how you use your time. Because what it is with social media is you want people to come to you, not because you look good or you're the best at, but you want people to trust you. And that's the most important thing for me, Cheryl, is I'm not a one-off person. I'm a relationship person. And people need to understand that engaging in business, it's about relationships. So if you're showing your best, which is great, show some of your off days. And people just give you like a care emoji or a heart, like hang in there. But just being honest about your approaches to life and how you approach your business will have people stay near and dear to you. And I could say that that's been, I think, my strength in the past 13 years of this show.
I understand you have a book coming out in the fall, but can you tell us about the book that you're working on?
Absolutely. The moments of solitude and stillness through COVID and lockdown helped me to reflect on what I wanted and what I didn't want to keep in COVID. So it's like what I want to count in and count out when we come through COVID. And I had to really take a look at myself, and I had to look at the relationships around me. And it came to some, you know, very painful conclusions on what that was and what I needed to do to evolve personally and professionally. So I put together some of those reflections in the book, and as honestly as I can be about how I made it through some of that journey that was, like I said, like a rude awakening. And when you have all of that time to collect your thoughts, you realize that there's a major shift that's happening that you're not getting from certain relationships. And there are certain things that you're not allowing yourself to achieve because of the blocks through limiting beliefs that you, and I say you, I say me, that I have adapted to cope in my life that were hindering me. So as I release them with love, I release those relationships with love, so that I could better myself to enter into the destiny that is designed for me. So that's what happened. And I said, okay, I'm going to put it to paper. And hopefully these musings will be able to help people understand what it is to live with purpose. And sometimes you have to get through those moments of pain to understand your purpose. So 100%. That's what the book entails.
That's great. Nikki, thank you so much for being on today. And how would your URL on Nikki Clark?
Yes, NikkiClarkNetwork.com is the website. And you can reach me on Instagram, NikkiClark31, my forever age. And also on Twitter, NikkiClark2020. And yeah, if you have a moment, please reach out to me. I love to connect. And yeah.
Next we're better together. She is nothing if not authentic, and I appreciate you being on Cash In on Camera today. So connect with Nikki, and we will definitely be seeing you around, Nikki. I know we're connected, I think, through a variety of different means and groups, and I think we're seeing you in a lot of places.
Oh yeah. We're going to have a Prince coffee and talk about all the Prince things.
We are totally doing that. I don't have my Prince mug handy, but I do have one, and you probably do too. So we will meet again.
Yes. I got a Prince t-shirt from back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. We will compare Prince stories. Thank you so much, Nikki, for being on today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's been an honor. I had a great time. Hope to connect soon.
Me too. This podcast features curated audio originating from live video interviews simulcast on social media. You can catch full video episodes at Cheryl Plouffe and on my YouTube channel. To learn how we can help you use video to grow your business, visit CherylPlouffe.com. Remember, you can send us a voicemail question or suggestion for inclusion in the show from our main podcast page. Cash In on Camera is a production of Cheryl Plouffe Media.